We thank you, dear Jesus, that as we gather in this place today, that you're with us here. And Lord, that we can trust you. And Lord, we know that although we may not know what's happening in this coming year, Lord, you've already been there. For you're the God of ages past and the God of the future. And Lord, we know that you know all that's going to happen and all that's going to take place, Lord. And Lord, we can trust you. We can trust you. In the beginning, God, he made it. It's his. And we are his. And we thank you for that. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. It's New Year's. New Year's often, a lot of things happen. One of the things that happens, everybody makes a little list and puts it together, and there are New Year's resolutions. Really, you know what a New Year's resolution is? It's basically a to-do list for 1 week. Okay? And that's kind of where we're at sometimes. But we make resolutions, we make plans, we make progress. The great thing about God, as you read through the scripture, just like we read in that scripture there in Revelation, is that God makes all things new. God is in the business of renewal. God is in the business not of picking us up, cleaning us up, straightening us up. God is in the business of making us new. And that's an amazing thing to realize and amazing thing to understand is that God wants to renew us and make us new. I want us to turn to a scripture in Isaiah chapter 43. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 18 and 19. Isaiah is writing to the children of Israel. They came to a bleak period of their history. They're in captivity. They've lost everything they thought they would keep forever. They were homesick for the land and the blessings that God had promised them. Things had changed. And because of that, there was this feeling that God had forsaken them. Things were getting worse by the day. But he says, listen, he says in 43:18, he says, forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. See, I am doing a new thing. Now it springs up. Do you perceive it? I am making a way in the desert and streams in the wasteland. Isn't that amazing to think that God is doing that, and God is trying to help them understand in one of the bleakest times of their life when they said, where is God? Have you ever asked that question? Where is God? Boy, things are getting bad. Things are happening. Things are taking place. And you can't even watch a football game without being bombarded by commercials that push all things that are ungodly. All these things that are happening. In Revelation 21:5, it says, the one seated on the throne said, look, I am making everything new. Now, that's not just the future. Sometimes we think about that as being in the future. And when we read in Revelation, he is talking about the new heaven and the new earth. But God is working right now in your life, in this day, in this time, to do a new thing, to do new things, to change some things that need to change, to get our focus back where it needs to be. In Romans chapter 13, verse 11 through 14, it says this, Romans 13, 11, and do this. Understanding the present time, the hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let's put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, or not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, close yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of your sinful nature. The night is almost over, and guess what? The day is coming. It's coming, folks. We're getting closer and closer and closer. So I want to give us a few steps to help us embrace what God wants to do in our life coming into this new year. As we begin this new year and understand how God wants to change some things in our life. The first thing that God wants to do is change your focus. Change your focus. Quit looking behind and start looking ahead. Verse 18 says, do not dwell on the former things. Do not dwell on the past. Sometimes we can get so caught up in the past. We can get so caught up in the things that have happened or the things that did happen, good and bad. And we can focus on those. And he says here, he says to the children of Israel, forget these things. Don't dwell on the past, the former things. If you're continually looking behind, you cannot see what's ahead. If you're continually looking behind you, you'll never see what's in front of you. Focus on what's in front. If you're ever going to move on to new things, you must learn that you cannot depend on past victories to sustain you, even former things. We have to look and say, what's ahead? What's ahead? The children of Israel had many victories in their past. They left Egypt, and God did some miraculous things there, parted the Red Sea, sent the plagues, did all those things. And sometime you ask people, okay, tell me your testimony. They say, well, back in 1963, I was at a revival, and man, it just, and nothing wrong with going back to the place that we came to know Christ. But what's bad is when we dwell on that. If we live on that, God is in the everyday business. Our testimony cannot just include what's in the past. Our testimony must be about what God is doing now, because God is still at work and he's still doing. What's God doing in your life? They conquered the land of Canaan. They fought off conquerors and enemies that were against them. They survived a split in their country. All those things happened. And they were focused on those. And he said, hey, forget about that. Because guess what? Right now, you're in captivity. These people were in captivity. All their previous victories were doing nothing to set them free. They needed a new work, a new miracle, a new victory. Anybody ready for some new victories? New miracles? New things that God is going to do? I believe he's going to do things. I can't dwell on the past and look and say, man, God, help us build this building. And God, nothing wrong with that. Praise God. But guess what? God's not through. And he's not through with you. If you're still alive on this earth, God still has a plan for your life. And he still wants to do something with you and in you and through you in doing that. The question isn't about what God has done. The question needs to be, what is God doing in your life right now? And what do you want God to do in your life right now? The blessings of God. The second thing is this. In order to move on to new things in Christ, you must know that you cannot allow your past failures to possess you. You cannot allow your past failures to possess you. He says there in that passage, do not dwell on the past. Oh, man, I failed miserably. My marriage failed. My job failed. My business failed. All these things. And we can dwell on those things. And he says, do not dwell on those things. The children of Israel had failed God miserably. Every time he blessed them with good things, they return to him evil things. Think about a few things. God gave them the temple, and they returned to idol worship. God gave them the truth, and they lived and proclaimed a lie. God gave them his commandments, and they lived like they were suggestions. God gave them wealth, and they used it to abuse the poor. God gave them himself, and they gave him nothing but rejection. They rejected him. The children of Israel didn't deserve to receive anything from God, but guess what? God still blessed them. If we look at our life and say, man, I failed miserably so many times, God shouldn't bless me at all. And God says, don't look at you, look at me. Quit looking at your failures and put your eyes on me, because God can still do miraculous works in our life, even when we think that we failed. Because let me tell you, just look around for a minute. Everybody look around, all the people. You know what you're looking at? You're looking at a room full of failures. The Bible says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. We're all failures. Sometimes we think that our failings is worse than somebody else's, and none of us know what everyone else has gone through. I don't know what everyone's happened. You don't know what's happened in my life. But I know this, that God doesn't look at our failures. He looks at us and says, that's my child, and I want to do great things in him and through him and with him. And so we must trust him in that. Next thing that you're going to get anywhere in your spiritual life, you must understand that you cannot live on yesterday's faith. You cannot live on yesterday's faith. The children of Israel experienced great spiritual blessing throughout their history. From the first Passover, the crossing of the Red Sea, the conquering of the land of Cana, the building of the temple, they had seen the hand of God work in and through their lives. And it's real easy to say, man, look what we did. Look what has happened. Look at the blessings. And it's great to do that, but you cannot live on yesterday's faith. God tried to teach the children of Israel that when he took them out through the wilderness. He took them out to the wilderness, and as they were in the wilderness, God said, I will feed you. And they said, what are you going to feed us? And they said, it's going to be manna. And they said, well, what is it? And he said, yeah, that's what it is. It's what is it? That was actually the word manna means, what is it? And so God would allow manna to fall from the sky every day. It was like a fog, and it would come to the ground, and then it would dry up, and they would go out, and they would gather it up every day. They would gather it up. I mean, they had manna in the morning, manna in the evening, manna at supper time. They had manna bread. They got sick of it. I mean, they ate so much manna, but God blessed them every day. Here's the thing. On the sixth day, God said, okay, here's the thing. Because the Sabbath is coming, you get to gather twice as much as you need. It will keep. Every day they would gather the manna. If one guy said, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go out and gather enough for the whole week. That way I don't have to do anything but sit here and watch football games and whatever they're going to do. I don't have to do anything. I'll just gather up a bunch of manna. And God said this, anything that you gather more than what you need for that day, it will rot. It will rot. Except on the sixth day, he could gather, and it would last for 2 days. Let me tell you what. God is in the business of blessing you and restoring your life every day. You cannot say, I'm going to gather up all the blessings, and I'm just going to sit here, and I'm just going to be blessed every day. God says this, I want to bless you every day. So you got to look for the places that God's going to bless you. And you have to gather his blessings to yourself, because that's what God wants to do. Now, I'm not talking about health, wealth, and prosperity and all that kind of stuff. I'm talking about the blessings of God that we find every day in the little things, in the big things, praising God and thanking God for when he provides, thanking God and praising God for when you go on a trip and you drive and you get home safely. Folks, there's a lot of people this past week that did not get home safely. A lot of people didn't make it. And we must praise God and thank him. But you cannot live on yesterday's faith. We need a new portion of the faith that had been passed down to us from God every single day. Every day. So, next thing we must do is clarify our focus. What does God want to do for you? What does God want to do for you? Forget the former things. Do not dwell on the past. And look what he said. See, I am doing a new thing. New things. Now it springs up. Do you perceive it? Now, new things to some people is like, oh, this is terrible. I don't like anything new. I like it the way it was. I like it the way it is. I don't like change. Change. I don't want to change anything. Let's keep it like it was. I want to keep it that way. But God says, I'm doing a new thing. I'm doing a new thing. God does new things for us every day. And we must trust him and believe him to do that. But we must clarify our focus. Forget those things. The word here, perceive, is to know by seeing, care and recognition, acknowledge, aware of, understand. So what do you see in your view of life? Do you see possibilities or problems? Some people see nothing but problems. And God says, possibilities. Possibilities. It's like the two guys who were shoe salesmen that went, they sent them over to a country in Africa. When they got there, the one guy sent a telegram back and he said, hey, get me a ticket home. No one here wears shoes. The other guy sent a telegraph back, and he said, send more shoes. Nobody here has any. So it all depends on how you look at it, how our perspective is. And sometimes we look at things and we say, oh my goodness, nobody wears shoes. And he goes, that's good. We'll just buy more shoes. We'll fit everybody with shoes. Look at those things. How do you see it? Look what he says. He says, I am making a way in the desert, streams in the wasteland. Out in the middle of the desert, he told them, and there were times when they had, he told them, he just start digging ditches. They said, God, do you know where we're at? We're in the middle of the desert. I don't know if you know that, but we're in the middle of the desert. And God says, yeah, I know that. Dig some ditches. That takes faith. Now, it doesn't take faith to dig ditches if it's already raining. Let me tell you what, it's like Noah building the ark. God told Noah, build the ark. And he said, why? He said, because it's going to rain. Well, what's rain? Because it never had before. It's going to rain. That means water's going to fall out of the sky. Yeah, right, God. Water's going to fall out of the sky. Yeah, it's going to flood the whole earth with water. Up until that time, water came up from the ground, and it would cover everything up until the time of the ark. If you've been to the ark encounter, it's amazing what Noah did as he built this ark, huge ark. And I'm sure people laughed at him. I'm sure kids got out of school every day and got in their chariot and went out there and said, let's go see old crazy Noah. And they rode out there in a chariot and cut donuts out in the yard. Hey, old crazy man, don't. You know, everybody thought he was crazy till it started to rain. Seeing streams in the desert. What is God showing you? What is he, the vision? What is God preparing? Seeing those things. Our focus. What does God want for us? You got to see God as yourself as God sees you. You got to see yourself as God sees you. The children of Israel felt like they were getting just what they deserved because of the way they had lived. Some even believed that God would never have anything more to do with them, but they were wrong. You may feel like, man, God has abandoned me, my past, the things I've done, and yet God says, no, I want you to see what I'm getting ready to do. I'm getting ready to do a new thing for you, for sure, because God has a plan for our life. You must see your possibilities as God sees them. You must see your possibilities as God sees them. He says, I'm making a way in the desert. God is able to transform the deserts of your life into fields of blessing. You believe that? Say that with me. God is able to transform the deserts in my life into fields of blessings. Do you believe that? You know, it's one thing to say it, but do we believe it? We need to let God know that we believe it. God, I believe you're going to transform the deserts in my life into fields of blessing. And the desert's going to bloom, and some great things are going to happen. He's making a way. Again, the last thing is to commit yourself to God's plan. Commit yourself to God's plan. God had already set in motion the events the people would lead the Israel out of captivity and back into the land of blessing. He'd already done it. He already had it going. I always think about the children of Israel who, while they were still in Egypt, as they were there in Egypt, they were sitting there going, God's not doing anything. God is not at work. God's not preparing. God's plan. We're never going to get out of here. Where's our leader? Where's the person? At that very moment, Moses was sitting in front of a burning bush, and God was telling him, go let my people go. Go tell the Pharaoh. So while you're sitting around thinking God's not doing anything, God's at work. God's always at work. He's always at work in and around you. You just got to find out where it's at and get in on it. And when you do, God's going to do amazing things. You got to commit yourself to God's plan. Commit yourself to God's plan. God says, I'm making way in the desert, streams in the wasteland. He's already set in motion a new direction, a new purpose for your life. You got to follow him. You got to follow him. In closing, Psalm 95, verse 7 and 8. says this, "For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. Today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your heart as in the day of rebellion." You see, those people were rebelling. Those people had hardened their hearts and thought God couldn't do anything. But God wants to do a new thing in and through your life. May this be the year that that happens. May this be the year that you quit focusing on the past and quit focusing on the failures and start focusing on what God is doing now for you, in you, through you. And pray and say, "God, I want you to turn my desert. I want you to turn it into a beautiful, flowering, blooming place." When that happens, we trust God for that. God will do what God says he's going to do, because he's ready to do a new thing in and through your life. Bow your heads with me this morning. Do you believe God? Do you believe God? Because God wants to do something new. God wants to change your heart and your life. Allow you to do that. If you truly believe that, I'm going to ask you to do something. As we start this new year, what better way to start it than on our knees before the Lord? This altar was not built so we could have a place to stand up and preach. It was built so you could come and pray. So I'm going to ask that in the next few moments while we sing this song, that we just fill this altar with our willing bodies to say, "Lord, I want you to lead me in the coming of this new year." And maybe this altar gets full, and maybe you just turn around right where you're at if you're able and kneel right there by your chair. But whatever it is, let's get before the Lord and ask him to do something in our lives this year as we head in to a great year as we focus on God.